I'd like to ask everybody to take their Bibles and turn to Psalm chapter 23. Psalm chapter 23. The title of this psalm says, A Psalm of David. And of course, this is the very famous psalm of the Lord is my shepherd. And so let's read that together, beginning with verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. John and Denise Knight were happily anticipating the birth of their first child, a son. They had already decided to name him Paul, but when Paul was born, there was a big problem. Paul was born without eyes. John and Denise would later discover that their son had other serious issues, including severe autism and a growth hormone deficiency. 2 months after Paul's birth, as John was looking at his son hooked up to tubes and sensors and surrounded by medical professionals, he quietly told God, God, you are strong. That's true. And you are wicked. You are mean. Do it to me, not to this boy. What did he ever do to you? Shortly after that prayer, John and Denise quit going to church. But one couple from the church refused to give up on them. Carl and Jerry never pressured John and Denise about spiritual issues. Instead, they would often stop by with simple gifts, like a loaf of fresh bread or a basket of soap and shampoo. John said that it was like Carl and Jerry were saying, I notice you. I see you. I know you're hurting, and I love you. Well, eventually, John and Denise accepted a dinner invitation from Carl and Jerry. During dinner, John told Carl, You can believe whatever you want. I don't care. I have evidence that God is cruel. Carl softly replied, I love you, John. I have regard for you, and I love your boy. Carl and Jerry's four children also displayed unconditional love for their son. John described it this way. They'd throw my son up in the air and make him laugh and do funny bird sounds. And that was confounding because most people, most adults couldn't do that. And so I would have this extraordinary expression of love and affection at the dinner table here, and I would turn to my left and there would be at least one of these children playing with my boy like he was a real boy. I wasn't even sure he was a real boy at times. Well, based on this family's quiet and persistent love, John and Denise finally returned to the Lord and to their local church. And when they returned, Carl and Jerry stayed by their side, making sure their son made it into the nursery. John would later say the following, They persisted. That was a big deal that they persisted with us. John and Denise Knight and the writer of our scripture passage this morning, King David, they all have something in common. They are people who endured extremely painful, gut-wrenching experiences in their lives, and yet they are also people who were shown such amazing love and concern that it took their breath away. And this morning, I would like to talk to you about that kind of love. And I hope that by the time we're finished, it will take your breath away as well. The title that I've given to my message this morning is this: The Wonderfully Persistent Love of God. The Wonderfully Persistent Love of God. Would you pray with me for just a moment, please? Father in heaven, we want to stop and praise you and thank you that you've taken care of us and blessed us in all the years of our lives, Lord, and watched over us, Lord, even when we doubted it, even when we thought you were a million miles away. And Father, thank you so much for your word and for the impact, Lord, that it has on our lives. And I pray that you'll use it this morning in the lives of every person that is listening today. Use it in their life, Lord, and bless them and strengthen them through it, Lord. And we'll give you all the honor and glory, Lord Jesus, for it's in your name we pray. Amen. You know, in everyday conversations, we use words like, no doubt. When we do that, we're expressing our certainty about a matter. We're saying that we're in complete agreement with what someone has said to us. For instance, someone might say, this cheese has been in the refrigerator way too long. No doubt. Or you could say, without a doubt, or definitely. Well, in Psalm 23, the text that we read earlier, it contains David's words about the awesome care and provision he received from the loving hands of God in good times and in bad times. And it's no wonder he begins the last verse of this song of praise with the word, surely. My shepherd has taken such good care of me since I started following him. Surely, without a doubt, definitely, goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. 40 years after God freed his people from slavery in Egypt, he reminded them of his persistent love and care for them. And when he said the words of Deuteronomy 29:5, for 40 years I led you through the wilderness, yet your clothes and sandals did not wear out. An amazing miracle. He caused their clothes and their sandals to last for 40 years in a very bleak circumstance. And I'd like to give you at this point our first lesson this morning from Psalm chapter 23, verse 6, about the wonderfully persistent love of God that we're focusing on this morning. And that lesson is this. Number one, God's love and care for us in the past assures us of his love and care in the future. Of course, Psalm 23 is all about how God has taken care of David, and he's writing all about it. And then in verse 6, he pictures God's love for us. And how does he do that? Well, he calls this amazing love of God his goodness and mercy. Surely, without a doubt, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. This phrase, goodness and mercy, in modern English, would be probably something along the lines of wonderfully faithful love, wonderfully loyal love. I want you to listen to how the Hebrew word for mercy, which is hesed, is defined by a Bible scholar who studied this word carefully through the entire Old Testament. G.R. Clark concludes that hesed is not merely an attitude or an emotion. It is an emotion that leads to an activity beneficial to the recipient. He explains that the act of mercy, the act of